Hey, what's going on, people? Welcome back to the Wrestling Podcast. That's wrestling spelled W-R-S-T-L-I-N-G. It's all of the grats, but without the E. Of course, me and G, we're not anti-E. We're simply pro wrestling. My name is Liam. This guy is Gareth.
Hey.
Welcome back, friends. Been a long time. You'll be pleased to know we've actually recorded two episodes, so you at least got us for two more. we're going to try and make this thing a little more regular. And it's days like today that inspire it, because we were very excited to host, with the help of our friends at Pro Wrestling Eve, one of our favorite wrestlers, not just on the UK scene, but worldwide, in the wonderful Nina Samuels.
Yes, somebody that's just having an incredible run at the moment. You know, eight titles around her waist currently. Just absolutely smashing it out there. Somebody that we've been, you know, we've enjoyed her work for quite some time now, and it really felt like just in the last 2 years or so, it's just everything's all clicked together. She's been firing all cylinders, and it's just been a matter of time until, you know, everybody else caught up, and here we are.
Here we are, baby. So yeah, really, really excited to have this conversation. We go long, which is great because we get some really, really interesting insight. So let's cut our bit short, I reckon, and just throw it straight to the Wrestling Podcast. Meet Nina Samuels. And here we go, friends. As promised, we're here with Nina Samuels, one of our absolute favorites, and I think number three on the happy list this year, which is, if you haven't heard this, Nina, which there's no reason why you would have done, it's our sort of end of year list of the wrestlers that made us happy, most happy throughout 2023. And you're right up there with Julia and some of the other big names. So yeah, lovely to have you here on the pod.
Oh, nice. I was about to complain about only being number three, but I guess if I'm like in the midst of, you know, amazing people like Julia, then I guess I can't complain too much. I'll begrudgingly take three.
So based, just to give this a bit of context, so when we first saw you wrestle, you were announced as being from Fleet. And Gareth and I, as Salisbury boys, Fleet is always a very special place to us because we always stop at the service station. So you're immediately over with us. And so we've kind of tracked you since. But the running joke between us was that every time we saw you live, you lost. And it's like we were a bad luck charm or something like that. So when we saw you at Eve, I think last year you're wrestling Becca, I think it was.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, it looked like things were going your way. We kind of looked at each other like, Jesus Christ, this isn't going to be it, is it? And then you won. And it was like, that was our big moment of the year almost. It was like, yes, hey, we finally seen
so
it.
Glad.
Yeah.
I was
going
to say, like, otherwise I would have had to say you're not allowed to come watch me anyway.
Yeah. Had luck charms.
But I mean, you know, it shouldn't be an issue now because it feels like you're winning everywhere. I think I counted, is it seven titles now?
Eight, isn't it?
It's eight.
Eight. Wow. Okay.
It is eight, and by the, well, so I got three, no, hang on. Yeah, three matches this week where championships are on the line.
Oh, geez.
So there's a potential by the end of the week to be either Nina six, seven, eight, or nine belts. I don't want to put the six or the seven out into the universe, not planning on losing anything.
No.
But yeah, so there's scope that it could be more by the end of the week. So we'll see. I'm not planning on it being less. No. Definitely not planning on it being less.
You have to re-up the photo, the Ultimo Dragon photo, if you get more belts.
I know, right? I booked in the photo shoot with Jake because I was like, okay, it's got silly now, but surely eight. That's got to be my peak. That's got to be my pinnacle. Let's get the big Ultimo Nina photo shoot done now. But then these other title opportunities keep coming. I'm like, oh, maybe I'm going to have to book it in another shoot. Then my brain's already thinking, okay, what can we do with a different shoot? Because it was an orchestration itself with that photo shoot. Like, it's why I wanted to spend loads of time with it. Because I was like, for me, it's like a huge moment. And even just in wrestling in general, like, and again, someone can correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't found another female who's ever held that many titles. I'm open to it if someone can prove me otherwise, but I think it might be a record. So I wanted to make sure that, like, the moment was captured properly. Yeah. Like, wasn't just trying to rush the photo in at a show. Yeah. I couldn't carry that many to a show. Let's just put that out there. It felt heavy.
Yeah,
the whole bag in itself. So I had to drive to the shoot. But yeah, just even because they're all different shapes, different sizes, different colors, different weights. So even working out the coordination of how we get them in. And I tell you, I got a workout that day. The back of my neck was sore. My arms were sore. They are weighty, weighty belts.
That's so good.
Yeah, but it was very, very cool.
I feel like it's Every now and again, I don't know if it's just our scene, but every now and again in England, you get the this sort of rush where a particular act or what have you just seems to be on top all over the place. Like I'm thinking about like CCK, you know, they had that period where they were just winning all over the shop. Alex Windsor, you know, she had that period a couple of years ago where she was winning constantly. Well, what does it feel like when you're kind of in the eye of the storm? Are you almost like, if you're getting a call from someone, you're almost thinking, right, where's the title match then? Come on, what's going on here?
It feels correct, to be honest. It feels correct. Like, I've worked very, very hard
Oh, yeah.
for a very long time. And I put a lot of effort into what I'm putting out there and making sure that everything is the total package, working on the in-ring stuff, working on the aesthetic side of things, working on the character stuff, everything. So, like, I don't mean to blow my own trumpet, but I also kind of do because it's not just happened out of luck. Like,
Sure. No, of course.
I've worked incredibly hard to get to this point. So, and I mean, I think there is an element of a knock-on effect. Like, if people see the work that I'm doing with one championship and they think, well, I want to have her challenge for my title, because if she wins my championship, then she's going to be doing that for our company as well. So
Yeah.
I think there is steadily that knock-on element. And like, certainly, like, I feel like it went from 4 to 8 within the space of about a month. So yeah, that certainly spiraled very, very quickly. I think I was on 4 even in December, and by the end of January it was at 8. So
That's quick, isn't
that's
it? Yeah.
it doubled very, very, very quickly. So yeah, but it feels great, to be honest. Like,
That's awesome.
and I like I it's hard trying to, it is an obligation when you have that championship, and it is a lot of work because you are committed to that company once you have that, and trying to make sure that, you know, each championship reign has a bit of a different feel, and
Gosh, yeah,
that you're
okay.
putting eyes on different people in the midst of that, you know. So, because each company has a very different product in terms of what they're portraying. So, you know, like a company like a UPW, where I hold the BLW championship, that's a very, very family friendly crowd. The opposite to Rise, where I hold the women's championship, which is, let's be honest, like, I'm wearing pink sparkles in an over 18s death match company. You know, like, we couldn't really get two polar opposites in terms of company. And then you've got your, you know, ones in the middle. So, you know, Riot Cabarets, Eve, things like that. So, you know, they're all very, very different companies. So it's trying to make sure that I'm delivering me, but also me in the universe of like that company.
Because presumably you have different dynamics character-wise, like if you're sort of playing the good guy or the bad guy, so that must be quite a difficult balancing act, particularly on social media.
I don't think I'm a good guy at any of the places where I hold championships. But yeah, it's still like there's different, and I like to say, like, Nina Samuels always at its core is the same, but then there's just different dials that I can dial up and down around the edges of what the core is, depending on which company I'm at. And yeah, similarly, if I ever have to be a good guy, Vom. But if it has to happen, again, the core of who Nina Samuels is still the same. It's just, as I say, like, slightly dialing up and down different
It's
elements.
so funny because when we spoke to Nightshade, I mean, was it earlier this year, G?
Last year.
We were both saying that, you know, we were chatting to him like, you should be a good guy. You know, you're obviously very likable. And I've always felt the same with you, like the whole, you know, the show aspect of it would play well, you know, as a good guy. Have you ever been forced into it, or is it?
It does happen sometimes. And going back to Nightshade, I was at a show with her in RCW when she was the champion there at the time. And oh my gosh, she had a sector of the crowd that were just worshipping her. I was like, filming it all. I was like, they were like down on their knees, like bowing down to her. They were obsessed. But yeah, actually, funny enough, last night I was wrestling Tate Mayfairs at Hustle Wrestling. So again, I think just by default, I was, I guess, just seen as the lesser of the evils
Lesser two
in
evils,
that
yeah.
moment. So yeah, it was very strange having the crowd behind me. But as I say, I was like, it's, I still stay true to Nina Samuels and what the Nina Samuels character is. It doesn't mean I'm all of a sudden going to stop hair pulling and stuff like that, you know? It's just, I guess, in the moment, the crowd felt like it was justified, everything that I was doing. So, you know, and that's something that I think is important because very much when people start, I think it's like people have a character in their mind that's so rooted in either being a good guy or a bad guy. And then it means if they ever have to change for a particular, because it's what a particular company wants, they're unrecognizable from what people know them as. So, and it's taken me a while figuring that out to try and figure out that like whatever the core of someone's character is, like shouldn't necessarily be good or evil by default. Because if you think all of us, like with maybe a few exceptions, aren't purely good or
No,
purely evil.
we all contain multitudes.
Yeah, we all contain multitudes and it's different scenarios that bring out different sides in us. And it's next to in terms of where they align on the scale as well and where we are in comparison. Yeah, like you say, like Nina Samuels is essentially a showgirl. So a showgirl likes to show off and perform. So sometimes that can be for the benefit of the crowd. So yeah, I think I've steadily, as I say, me being the good guy doesn't happen very often, but I've steadily found a way to make it work that doesn't feel like I'm, you know, straying too far from me as a character.
Yeah, because it can definitely feel like that you're, when certain characters turn, you're really sacrificing the whole essence of who they are just to have them be a good guy or a bad guy. And I always feel like fans are just like, what? It never plays well. So yeah, I think, like you said, it's really important to have that kind of nucleus of who the character is, but there can be good, there can be bad, depending on what's going on around them almost.
100%. And yeah, hopefully the match that I had last night with Tate up. I had a great time working with him. So if anyone wants to see me being Nina Samuels and getting fully cheered, I'll share it about when that match's on YouTube.
Perfect.
But yeah, seek
That'd be
out the
great.
match for anyone who's intrigued to see what it looks like to see
Absolutely.
people on my side.
He's another one. I wonder if Tate's ever a good guy anywhere. I'm yet to
He's
see it.
just such an
He
incredible
said
asshole.
recently, I think when he went to Spain, I think he said he recently had to, because we were again having this conversation where we were like, we're not used to necessarily having that response. But yeah, he had to do it recently. And similar, because I think me and Tate are quite similar in terms of characters and performers. So, you know, again, we're both quite flashy in our style, but you just turn the arrogance element of it to a more performative element of it, and it kind of works, you know.
Were you always heading in this direction in terms of where you've landed at now, or did you ever have sort of designs on taking the character a different route or going for something else?
Not at all. So my first, I would say, 3 years of my wrestling career, I was pretty much exclusively babyface. Purely like I had not given any thought to what my character was, but I had a dance background, so I had a natural performative element to me. So it was literally just I was coming out being generic babyface, but with my own little flair on stuff. But I had put absolutely zero thought into character work. The idea of getting on the microphone terrified me because I'd done acting and stuff, but like that was all with a script. So the idea of coming up with what I was saying absolutely terrified me. And it wasn't until, so I did a show for, not for Pro Wrestling E, but for XWA, which was their mixed gender company. And I was wrestling Rio O'Reilly, who was a babyface at the time. And I'd forgotten to send him music. So he had some music for me from like a music video that I'd done when I was, so again, tangenting. The Cortinas had a music video where it was featuring a female Mexican wrestler, which was me. So he just used that. But the song is not, it's a good song, but it's not like a babyface song. So I was like, okay, I'll just try being heel for the day. So because he'd seen me in that realm, when he decided to bring me in for Eve, he said, oh, I'm going to have you be a heel. So I was like, okay, all right. Like at that point, I'd been heel a couple of times, but never like beyond a one-off appearance somewhere. So that was where I started, you know, trying to dig into what that was going to be. And where I first, he was the first, and really, he was being given me a live microphone and shows. And then it just got to a point where, okay, you're going to do a promo every single show. And that's when I steadily got comfortable with doing that. But I would say, in terms of like true character, that didn't happen till I was on NXT UK. And which was when, because I think in the independents, you're so used to it, it's just based on the scenario that you're in, and that's where your character comes from, what story you're in at the time. Whereas when it got to being on like weekly episodic television, I realized it was very different, and you have to have a way that you're presented out of context, like out of context with a storyline, because especially early on the brand, the storylines aren't coming straight away. It's just establishing who people are. And at that time, there wasn't really much to establish about me. My character was, oh, I'm a bitch. And it's like, well, what heel? So I realized I was like, oh, okay, I need to figure something out that is a niche to me. Because I was getting at the time a lot of comparisons to Ginny, who was a lot more established than me then. So, you know, I was getting comments that, you know, I was like a budget Ginny, which hurt. I love Ginny, and she, you know, she's one of my great friends. But I was like, okay, I don't see us as being similar, but if enough people are saying this, I'm like, I need to make a change, and I need to figure something out that can make everyone else see the difference that I feel like there is. And that's when I just sort of decided to go on the theatrical route. Like, one of my favorite wrestlers has always been The Miz, because I've just always been so invested in like what he does story-wise. Like, when I started wrestling was 2014, which I believe was at the time when he was in that IC title storyline with Dolph Ziggler. I remember the time just being so invested in it, and it was like really heightening the importance of the IC title. And so that had always resonated with me. So my initial starting blocks for it was like, okay, well, how about like a female Miz, but rather than film, theater? That was literally the grounding building blocks for it. And then from there, it's just steadily evolved and evolved and evolved to the point where I'm still even adding nuances now. And, you know, compared to different storylines that my character is going through in different places. Like, there are some promotions where I'm very much in control of the storyline that I'm in, and other places that I'm not. So, I mean, even just for example, if I talk about stuff with Progress, when I had the storyline with Alexis Falcon, that was very much me being the puppeteer for that whole storyline
Oh, wow.
Wow.
till the end. Whereas now I'm in a scenario, you know, with like Rio and Kanji, where I'm the one on the back foot and I'm trying to do the things that have been working for me, but they still keep managing to come up on top, and I'm coming up short. So it's the sort of more unraveling, and I'm losing control. So the more irrational side of the character. So it's fun playing around with those different things. So I'm showing the different layers to how Nina Samuels reacts in different situations.
That is interesting. And it's really interesting to hear you say about the theatre aspect of it, because one of the things that I took from the character early doors was my wife studied performing arts at uni, and PA students were sort of feared at the bus stop because it was like, oh, crikey, here we go. So it was all so loud, and they'd become, and it was very much like that. It was like, oh, well, this is like a PA student that can fight, basically. This is how. That was my initial takeaway.
Yeah, as a if you've ever had any experience in the performing arts with its students or in the business, you know there are so many characters. So many characters. That's why, like, to me, like, when people say wrestling's dramatic, I'm like, nah, this is tame. Like, so there are so many people, good and bad, that I've drawn on for different elements of that. Because, yeah, performing arts people are a lot. A lot.
Oh yeah. I
And
say
I
this.
always,
I was
like,
one
I
of
can
them,
relate,
but
have
yeah.
certain conversations with people, like Rain Leverkusen came from a performing arts background, so there's a lot of things we can relate from that. Like Spike Trevet, Charles Crowley got their acting background, so again, they've encountered lots of those types of characters. So yeah, there were so many.
A fertile world to pull from.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you were talking about developing the character in NXT UK. Was there sort of, did you get a lot of direction from within, or did you have, more space to work it out yourself? Like, what was the process like behind those doors, if you like?
So it was a bit of both. The person who helped me the most with it was he's not with the company anymore, but one of the writers, Glenn, who used to work for Progress, because he as well came from a musical theatre background. So again, he understood all the elements and the references that I was putting out there, but he would also challenge me with certain questions. So I would put across things to do with my character story and backstory, and he would challenge me with like, oh, but why this, why that? And he would find the holes in it and challenge me with that. And certainly when my first sort of, big storyline after developing that character was with Toni Storm. So we were going back and forth together, working on the promos for that as well, and working out how they could be filmed different, which is why those promos were all filmed. That's the first time I did the bulbed mirror promos, where I was talking into the mirror. So again, just to have something a bit different. It was Glenn that suggested, oh, I want to get you a director's chair. And I was like, okay, cool. If you get me a director's chair, I'm going to go find some way that I can get some vinyl and make sure that my name's going to be on it. So those elements was, he was very, very helpful and very instrumental in doing that. And then even entrance wise, Davey Coates, who was our main production manager at NXT UK, he still does all the international production for WWE. Talking with him a lot and working out, okay, what can we do with the entrance to jazz it up a bit, like make it more theatrical, and work with him to get those, and again, make it a performative piece, because I'm like, I should have a theatrical entrance if I'm a performer, So yeah, I did have help and lots of support around me. And when I started doing the Nina Samuel show stuff, like my first one on TV was with Jack Stars and Dave Mastiff, and they were great, great characters to bounce off. And when I decided I was going to do it outside of the TV stuff and just do the stuff for social media, Sam Grabwell was the first person I did for that, because Sam Grabwell was like all about making extra content. And again, I owe a lot to Sam Grabwell, because he threw himself wholeheartedly into that. We filmed it that day to go out that night,
Wow.
like 12,000 views within a couple of hours. So that
Great.
meant straight away the next day at the taping, when I was going to be filming the stuff for the weeks to come, people were fully on board with it, because they had a reference point of, okay, cool, we know what this is going to be. So yeah, a lot of credit to Jack Stars, Dave Mastiff, and Sam Grabwell for making sure those first ones, TV and social media, were a success, to the point where then the rest of the roster were very keen and willing to be involved and understood what I was trying to do with it.
Yeah,
That's
it's
really
that
cool.
kind of success breeds success, isn't it? I think people seeing, oh, like this rules, people then want to be involved and sort of, run with it with you.
Yeah, exactly. Because if I hadn't have had as much back from the talent I was interviewing in those early ones as I was putting into it, it wouldn't have been a success, because A, it would have started out flat, but also there wouldn't have been as much interest from other talent to get involved as well. And it's an interview show, so I was literally reliant on other talent being willing and, putting their effort in. So the fact that those early ones went so well, was a testament to why it ended up being the success that it was.
You really need people to commit to so much in wrestling. It feels, certainly as a viewer, like if talent aren't committing to the bit, it's not going to go over well.
Yeah, exactly.
We should pause here. We've got a couple of silly questions we like to ask our guests just to get to know them on a more personal basis. And so the first one, and often the most controversial, is what is your preferred pizza topping?
Everything meat. Meat
Yeah.
upon meat upon meat. Sorry, vegetarians and vegans. I do like vegetables, but when it comes to pizza, I want all the meat. There's a great independent pizza place by my brother's flat. So if I go around his, like, to stay up to watch a Royal Rumble or something, we'll order pizza from there. And their meat feast has lamb sausage
Oh
on it.
wow. Oh
It's
wow.
unusual. Like, honestly, it's next level. Like, when I tried it, I was like, why is lamb sausage not a thing everywhere? Because it's just, oh, unbelievable. Another favorite was there's a pizza place called Sodo, which was next door to the Resistance Gallery.
Yeah, I
Back when
remember
that was
that.
there, they've also got another one in Walthamstow as well, and they have a pizza called the Wicker Man. So it's got like pepperoni, spicy Nadueja sausage, chili honey, but like a kind of cream cheese as well.
That sounds
So you
amazing.
get like the sweet, but the kick, but the creaminess.
Oh, wow.
Actually, when I did my legal wedding, because I got married in Ireland, but we didn't do the legalities over there, so we just went to the town hall at Walthamstow to get married, and we went for pizza there afterwards.
Ah,
So she got
amazing.
married with like eight people there and then went for pizza at
I
that
love
place. So
that.
that was my post-marriage pizza.
And congratulations, by the way, as well. That's
Thank
wonderful.
you very
That's very
much.
nice. Yeah. We had a pizza oven at our wedding, and I think pizza and weddings is the way to go, 100%.
Oh, hell yeah. Charlie Morgan and Jetta had a late night pizza oven at theirs as well, which
Ah, yeah.
went down a treat.
Yeah, 100%.
That's wonderful.
So you spent a bit of time in Japan, which I'd like to talk about in a bit, but what is a big karaoke culture out there? What's your go-to song?
Oh, okay. So we did go for karaoke when I went to Japan. My normal karaoke, if I'm going to do it myself, would be something like A Sweet Child of Mine or something like that. I've used to do like Florence Machine, You Got the Love. I'd done that before. But we did a trio karaoke when we did there. So all the gaijins stuck together. I didn't do any solo numbers. So me, Millie, and Lena Cross, we did Spice Up Your Life.
Incredible.
And we did Mr. Brightside as well. I know that's that I know that divides a lot of people over here, but Lena suggested it. I think in Australia it's not as much of a divisive song.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, cool. We're like, we'll go with those because then we can just like shout them a bit more. But then so I also I can't remember the name of the song, but I also sang a ballad duet with Mako because I didn't have time to decide whether I wanted to or not. They love doing ballads over there, by the way, at karaoke. They love it. Like three of them together did like the Japanese version of Let It Go. And I was like,
Oh, amazing.
yeah, it was some kind of Ed Sheeran ballad. And it
Geez.
started, and she just like passed a microphone, went, Nina, sing with me. And then the next thing I know, the music had started. I was like, well, I guess I'm doing this. So yeah, that happened.
Perfect. That's so
That
good.
happened. Yeah.
I think one of the best responses we had from this, I forget, it was a wrestler from Japan. I forget who it was. And their answer was the Japanese national anthem. That was their preferred karaoke song.
Okay.
I wish I could remember who
Yeah.
it was, but yeah.
So yeah, we have a little. I've got a little Spotify playlist where I put all of the guests' karaoke choices into. So I'll be adding those.
I'm glad Spice Up Your Life's going to go on there. That's one. That's a banger.
Pop that one in there.
And what are your if you're going to like a 7-Eleven in Japan or one of the convenience stores or even like a spa in the UK, what are your favorite go-to snacks?
Okay, bar in the UK, Reese's.
Mm-hmm.
Reese's or a cream egg. My husband is amazing. If he's coming to a show to watch me, I'll just have either he'll pop backstage or like one of the crew will pass to me. Oh, this is from your husband, and it'll be a pack of Reese's or a cream egg.
What a sweetheart.
Such a sweetheart. I picked a good
You did, yeah, you
one.
did all right.
My waistline would probably be a bit smaller if my husband wasn't so wonderful, but we'll allow it. If I'm in a 7-Eleven, I like the cakes, Japanese cakes. So like anything with that they have really nice cream over there. So I don't know, Millie who says that she hates cream over here, but then when she gets to Japan, she all of a sudden loves cream because it's
Interesting.
different. It's just sweeter.
Ah.
Yeah, they have really nice, like light sponge with cream, which is really good. Loads of their cakes are great. So the first time I went to Japan, Mako said, "Oh, like try the convenience store sweets and cakes," and I took that way too seriously. I couldn't go past a 7-Eleven without getting some kind of cake. So the next time I went to Japan, it was a month before my wedding, and I had a dress to fit into, so I had to be a bit more strained. They've also got this really nice, like, chocolate where it's like these little nibs of chocolate, and it says on the packet 0 cal or 0 sugar. It is absolutely lying, but it's clearly just a dodgy translation. But I think it's a bit healthier. But yeah, that chocolate's very nice. And they've got these like chocolate covered freeze-dried strawberries that
Oh,
are really good as well.
wow. Okay.
But we couldn't find them the second time we went. So I don't know if they're a seasonal thing. Yeah, they're really good. But I could get very, very large on 7-Eleven snacks and small snacks, spa snacks, to be honest. But I'm much more of a sweet tooth person.
I should say this is the part of the podcast where guests normally start getting hungry. I don't know if you're familiar with Slex. He's a wrestler from Australia, but if you look him up now, he's shredded, like he doesn't have any body fat. And we were asking him these questions whilst he was in the middle of getting down to it, and
Oh
he was like, "Oh,
no.
guys, can you just stop? Can we skip this?" Like,
He was on a cut and just was just like, oh God, I'm so hungry.
Yeah, I'm just not capable of cutting. This is why I've just like steadily lent into being a powerhouse because like with savory I can eat really well, but I just can't resist the sweet snack. So I'm like, I just won't wear two pieces now. Just wear a one piece, bulk up, be a powerhouse, let it
Just
happen.
absolutely.
Distract everyone with those incredibly jacked arms instead.
Yes, exactly. Just get the arms out, get the back out, and then just hope no one looks at the tummy that may be full of
Incredible.
cream eggs and Reese's.
And the sort of last of these questions is, what are your hobbies outside of wrestling?
Well, as a lot of people know, I love baking. Love doing baking. Lately, not so much because I'm coaching so much. I don't have to, my schedule doesn't work out, but I really enjoyed taking up aerial hoop.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I love doing that. So I need to find a new class because now that I coach so much in the evenings, it doesn't align with the schedule for the aerial place that I used to go to. I also recently took up ballet again because I was trained in ballet, but it took me a while, like sort of finding a class that was like the right level, something not super beginner, but also not like with full-on professional ballerinas. So I've only been to the class a couple of times, but because it's on a Sunday, so if I have a show, I can't do it. But yeah, I've enjoyed
Oh, wow.
taking that up again.
You're an incredibly busy lady then.
It doesn't stop. Like a 13-day period for me with no days off is very, very normal.
I can
Very
believe it.
normal.
Gosh.
Yeah. I like pretty much every day off that I have from shows now, I'm coaching in some shape or form. So, which I absolutely love,
Oh,
but
sure.
it does leave me just in a constant state of, some kind of tiredness. But I just learned to deal with it now.
What's the what you're saying about coaching? What's your how did you kind of get into it? Have you always liked teaching, or where did that come from?
So it started off initially at the back when the London School of Lucha Libre was still open. So I'd just be helping out with classes. And then similarly, when I got involved with Hustle Wrestling, again, it would be a case of if I just pitch in the odd bit of feedback here and there. And then when Johnny, who runs the school, was away, I'd step in and cover. And then I first got involved with Play Fight probably about 2 years ago, which is where I'm mostly coaching now. Because Tom Dawkins, who runs a school, Cara Noir, I've got a long-standing background with him. We used to wrestle each other a lot at Lucha Britannia. We trained together at London School Lucha Libre. So again, it first started off as just coming on board, helping with bits of cover here and there. And then when things ended with WWE, I just sent him a message and I said, "Hey, I've got some spare time on my hands now. If you ever need an extra set of hands coaching at the school, I'm happy to come on board." And then that's just steadily evolved and become more and more regular there with the coaching. So now I'm there several days a week. I'm coaching a lot of one-to-ones there as well. So yeah, I kind of live at the place now, pretty much. But it's a great position to be because, I've got to a point now where like I love coaching almost like the same amount that I love wrestling.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Figuring out the different ways that people learn different coaching techniques that people respond to. Like back when I was dancing, I was the dance captain for one of the shows that I was involved in, which meant that any new person coming into a show, I had to teach them all of the shows. And I had to also run the rehearsals, which meant I watched the shows and would make notes to make sure everything was aligned. So that experience has helped a lot with this as well. Because again, with that, I would get used to different ways that people learn, different ways people need explaining things. And with watching the rehearsals, again, it's watching something, figuring out why something looks different on one person to another, and what needs to change in each person to get it the same. So that experience helps a lot as well. And also now I've just recently qualified as a personal trainer. So, tying in bits of that as well, in terms of the fitness, making sure the warm-ups and cool-downs are done correctly, linked to what's being done in the sessions. So yeah, I absolutely love and adore coaching. And it's great now because like there was a show that I was on recently where I was sharing a locker room with some people that I coach as well. So that was really nice as well, because then I could like, because I'm used to seeing them in a class type setting, but now I could see them performing, doing their thing, and then watch them in that scenario and then give them some tips and advice on how to, because it's very different. Like we try and simulate a performance environment as much as possible in class, but it is a different beast. So yeah, it was really nice being able to see them do their thing on the show and then, use that as a continued part of their development.
Oh wow, that's very cool. And I think that's a very I'm sure it's not why you're doing it, but it seems like a very good investment to kind of get into this sort of thing now, for whenever you eventually want to stop wrestling, you have your hand in.
Yeah, 100%. Like I've always enjoyed exploring other roles within wrestling. Like during lockdown, I trained up in commentary with WWE.
Oh,
So
wow.
every week I was doing like 2 hour Zoom calls with Andy Shepherd, and like sometimes Tom Phillips and Vic Joseph would come on the calls as well. Or if they weren't on the calls, they'd listen back to our recordings and
Oh,
give some
wow.
feedback. Because at that time, Andy Shepherd was still fairly new to commentary because he'd only recently transitioned from being a ring announcer. So it's good practice for both of us. And then I've since done occasional bits of commentary for
Oh, how
Eve.
cool.
The Hooked on Wrestling show last year, I did commentary on that as well. When I was out with a concussion, I did a bit of ring announcing too. So I always think you can learn a lot from taking on those different roles as well. Like you say, it's sort of preparing me for what roles I might want to do if I still want to be involved in wrestling once I actually like take off my boots, so to speak.
Sure.
Oh, very cool. Oh, I had no idea about the commentary. That's really interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot to it.
Oh, I'm
Yeah, oh,
sure.
I
I can
and
imagine.
especially commentary by WWE standards. Oh my goodness, they have so many set rules of
Really?
like what, but it's because they want to make obviously the most polished product possible. And so, even like I've taken a lot of those rules that I learned there and apply them to stuff on the independents, gone like little tips that I wouldn't have even thought about. And I'm like, wow, that does just make for such a more polished product. So I've tried to bring that in when I do other shows as well.
You always hear about the sort of banned words thing. Was that like a factor for you? Did you get like a list or anything like that?
I didn't have a specific list, but sometimes as I would say things, bits of feedback, I'd be like, oh, okay, we can't say that. But then things constantly change. So then there's been like at least one word that I was told I couldn't use that I have now heard being used since. But things do change over time. Do you get different people in charge, or people decide, oh, okay, what we thought then maybe isn't relevant now. So,
One thing I was going to ask you about was, with the trips you've done with Sendai Girls, how does the training there compare to the training at NXT? Because I suppose that it's rare to get comparable, like almost full-time training. So I just wondered if there was any differences or what they were like.
So for me, the training in Japan was actually very familiar because I did a lot of training with Mako at NXT UK. So there wasn't really much in the ways of surprises when I got to Japan. Actually, no, I tell a lie. The one day there was a surprise was we couldn't train in the ring one day because it had been packed up ready for the show. So we did a dojo car park workout, and it might be the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Oh, wow.
Mako wasn't running it that day. So it was being run by Chihiro and Mika Iwata. So they were running the training. And oh, me and Millie just got absolutely beasted. It was horrific,
Oh,
absolutely
jeez.
horrific. Just, yeah, so much. And I think as well, because we hadn't realized what we would be doing in that training, we'd worked the same group of muscles at the gym like the day before.
Ooh.
Oh.
So,
That's no fun.
yeah, it was just a lot. And then I remember when we thought it was done, it turned out we'd just like finished the first half of it.
Oh, Jesus. Oh.
So yeah, that was very, very tough. So then when we actually got to the in-ring stuff, I was like, oh, this is fine, this is chill. I know what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
This is all good. But yeah, if I hadn't have trained so much with Mako and NXT UK, then yeah, I probably would have noticed a lot of things differently. But yeah, it was actually very familiar. And in some ways, Mako would then ask me and Millie to lead certain elements of the training because she
Wow.
wanted us to bring things from our experience for the girls in Japan. So it was a new experience for them. So yeah, I mean, you hear so many different stories about things in Japan. I think because, you know, there's such a big level of respect there between Mako, me, Millie, and Lena. It was very much, it didn't feel like, oh, we're getting put through the ringer and being shouted at. Certainly none of the Mako drop kicking someone and bloodying them in the face from that infamous clip. Like, there was none of that. Like, I, because there is a friendship there. There is a lot of respect there. So, you know, Mako knows what she can do. She wasn't necessarily looking to test us in that respect. It was very much a collaborative training process. And I mean, we had like some of the young girls there training with us as well. And she's a bit harsher with them, but I mean, they're still learning. That's the way the culture is there. When I say a bit harsh, I just mean as in she's telling them what doesn't look good and telling them what needs improving them and getting something to do it again. Again, definitely not none of the no bloody no stiff shots, nothing like that. But yeah, it was a great experience for me in Japan, and no announcements to come immediately, but I cannot wait to go back when it will be announced that I am going back.
Well, we're looking
Fantastic.
forward to sort of hearing that. And, you know, one of the other good things is it's going to be easier to watch Sendai Girls moving forward with them coming to Wrestle Universe.
Brilliant.
Yes, which I'm so happy about because the wrestlers in Sendai are amazing. Amazing people, but amazingly skilled as well. And I felt so honored being a part of the shows we were doing there. And I think all eyes should be on the wrestlers that are there. Like, they're all fantastic, but like Chihiro, especially, like my mind is blown every time I'm watching Chihiro. She's so incredible. Dash as well has recently, I say recently come back. Oh no, it was actually last July. So, coincidentally enough, Dash got injured during my first tour, and her comeback match was on my second tour.
Oh, how
So it
about
was a kind of
that?
like full circle moment being there for like those moments for her. Dash is great as well. As is Mika, as is like Miyuki Takasi. Like there's so many amazing workers there in Sendai. So I'm so happy that more eyes are going to be on them because they absolutely deserve that.
Yeah, you know,
Very cool.
just generally, Japanese women's wrestling is just phenomenal. And, you know, I
Yeah.
think, you know, to sort of tie it all together, like, you know, the fact that Eve brings over so many great Japanese women's wrestlers, you know, like with Risa Sera this weekend, you know, is just phenomenal. And we're incredibly lucky, or I was incredibly lucky when I still lived in the UK to have that on my doorstep.
I remain lucky. Yeah, absolutely.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. It's great having all those talent come over. Like, so we've got you who holds the international title, who's every once in a while. When Miyu Yamashita was the champion for so long, it was so great having her there. I still am holding out hope that I want to wrestle her one day in a singles match. I had a brief interaction where she kicked me in the head during a match with Sapphire, but I'm hoping that's not the last. I'm hoping that's not the only interaction that we get to have. But
that's the match. Yeah,
that's
the
what
one.
I really like. But yeah, I've got to work with so many great Japanese talent from working at EVE. Like, I got to work a bunch with Emi Sakura. My debut, I was tagging with Meiko Satomura, like, because sure.
That's amazing.
Like, wrestling Utami on the second ever Wrestle Queendom. And that was when Utami was super new as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild if you think about that match now. So that was a triple threat with me, Jamie Hayter, and Utami.
Wow, yeah.
When we were all still fairly
new.
Like, they are two women. Where, oh, I would so love to lock up with them again. Tsukasa Fujimoto was another one who I loved working with. Like, probably the stiffest back kick I've had in my life. My soul left my body. But despite that one kick, I loved working with her as well. That was a really, really great experience. So, yeah, it's so great that we have that opportunity to work with those girls. And even great, like, people that I've met in Sendai getting to come over. So, like, Miyuki Takasi was the first person that I stepped in the ring with when I went to Japan. Korakuen Hall, first person. So when she got to come over and she had the match with Miyu, and also to, Alexis Falcon worked with her as well, I was so happy because they're all desperate to come over here as well. It's a testament to what we've got going at EVE, the fact that it's so prestigious that all these women from around the world want to come and work for EVE. And we all want them all to come. We're like, bring it on, bring the talent from everywhere, because it helps us all grow. All of us get benefit from wrestling people from other countries and learning their styles.
That's very cool. Yeah, no, we're super lucky. So lucky to have Eve over here. You've been very generous with your time. I should wrap things up, but just before you go, what's next? You know, your Ultimo Nina the second. What are your main goals, you know, for the next year and the coming years? What are you looking to achieve?
I want to be considered the top female in the UK, if not Europe. I feel like I'm very much in the conversation. And for probably a lot of people, I would say my name would ring true to that. But I want to be, like, undeniably the top, like, the most talked about, consistently doing the best work, doing the best stories everywhere. And give me all the titles. But yeah, I just want to be at a point where I'm like goated territory. And I've got a lot of competition for that, because there are some hella, hella good women in the UK. So, you know, this isn't me saying, like, yeah, I'm the best. Like, I know what I do and I know what I bring, but that's what I want to do. I want to get to a point where I'm like, undeniably, like, no one should be able to have that conversation without my name being there, if not the first name that they're mentioning when they're debating that.
Perfect. All right. We'll, before you go, do you have anything you wanted to plug? Anything coming up or merch?
Yes, absolutely. So tomorrow night, two big matches, one at Progress, where I'm wrestling Emerson Jane. Emerson Jane took a title match that should have been mine. Very, very begrudged about that. So she is fantastic, and I need to get back on top of Progress. And against someone like Emerson Jane is exactly how I need to do that. Then I'm getting straight in the car, going to Big Penny Social for Pro Wrestling Eve, main eventing the show in a no disqualification match with Sapphire Reed. That will be streaming live. Everyone should be watching that. Everyone. I think the Progress show is streaming live as well. So if you're smart, you'll follow Nina on both. If you're smart, you'll stream me live at Progress. I don't know where exactly, but I said put me on the first half because I got a place to be, booked and busy. And then jump over to the Eve stream and watch me destroy Sapphire Reed.
We need like a Nina tracker, like a flight tracker, you know, you can just see where you are in London on the way.
You need the Nina tracker. And then guess what? I'm on a flight the next day. I'm on a flight the next day to Germany to defend another title in Pro Wrestling Cult, fly him back, then challenge him for another title on the Sunday. Because
Jesus Christ.
Amazing.
That's the superstar schedule, you know?
Hell yeah.
So yeah, follow me, watch me everywhere, buy my merchandise, ninasamuels.bigcartel.com. And Subscribe to my Patreon as well. I started my Patreon in October, and I'm super happy with how it's going. Like the content that I'm putting out there is going down a storm, so more people should be subscribed. You get I'm very much, apart from when I do the old podcast, very much my social media is completely fully in character. So my Patreon's where I kind of pull the curtain back a little bit.
Gentlemen.
You get to see me behind the scenes, so behind the scenes like photos with my friends. Show day vlogs as well, so you get to like come
Oh,
backstage
wow.
with me, like with the odd cameo here and there from other people. And for those who are interested in workout stuff as well, like film bits and bobs of my workouts as well. So yeah, I'm putting a lot of work into my Patreon, and anyone that subscribes, I don't think will be disappointed. If you're expecting like over 18 level naughty stuff, you'll be disappointed, because that's not what it's about. It's about the person behind the character, and seeing all that. So anyone that wants to, see more of my life and come behind the scenes with me at shows, definitely subscribe to my Patreon, which is patreon.com/Nina Samuels.
Perfect. Lovely
Lovely.
stuff. Nina, you're awesome.
I'll
Thank you.
pop all those links in the show notes, so anybody listening,
Thank
have a
you.
look there. You can go straight to the merch, the Patreon. All of Nina's social medias, just follow her everywhere. Everybody needs more Nina.
Yes.
There you go. More power to you, Nina. Thanks very much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And we're back. And that was the wonderful Nina Samuels. We
Yeah.
all need a bit more Nina in our lives, and now you've got it.
I didn't want to say on the pod because you don't want to embarrass people, but when at the end when Nina was saying about like I want to be basically viewed as the consensus best wrestler in the UK, best women's wrestler in the UK, I was just thinking, but you are like there's I've for me anyway, I don't think that's in doubt. Like I can understand you want more people to feel that way, but I know I certainly do. I don't think anybody puts every aspect together as well as she does, because she's awesome bell to bell, but also gives you all that character work, not just before and after matches, but during matches, crucially. And yeah, for me, she's the total package.
Yeah, I'm just really excited that, she's getting main events, she's getting those big matches. Just for quite a long time, it felt like we'd see her maybe in, the middle of the pack, middle of the
Yeah.
show, just absolutely stealing every scene. And we just would privately say, when's she gonna, get the belts,
It
get the
was
big
always the thing,
matches?
wasn't it? Like, why isn't she
Why isn't she a
she
bigger
there?
deal?
Yeah. But
So
there we
it's
go. So we just had to wait it. But so when she said that, she just kind of said it felt right, what she's getting now. I totally got that because I think she has been fantastic for a long time. And it just feels like now all of a sudden everybody's woken up at the exact same moment, and
It's honestly felt like since she re-entered the like UK indie ecosystem that she's just been a house of fire, really just a matter of time. Her match with Mei Suruga as part of
one of my
the Even
favorites of
Chakra
last
Pro
year.
was,
Yeah.
just incredible. She was such a great bully in that match. I just
Oh,
say I
man.
really, really loved that.
It was almost uncomfortable at one point. Because she was just, Nina's so much bigger than Mei, and she was just kicking her ass, basically. And Mei was, making it look like she was being absolutely brutalized. But it was so good. And just, yeah, one of my favorite matches of the year, actually.
I'd love to see that run back.
Hell yeah.
Dan, if you're listening, bring May back for a title match, please.
Yeah. Or Emmy, if you're listening, Inichigaya. Let's do it. May Nina too. Let's go. Do it on the chocolate
That's the
square.
stuff.
Anyway, I should say as well, again, big thanks to Pro Wrestling E for hooking us up. We really appreciate that. They've got two absolutely huge shows going down this week. Tomorrow, Thursday, March 7th, and on Friday, March 8th, we've got Beers, Brawls, and Badass Bitches, and then Women Behaving Badly, all in conjunction with International Women's Day. These are crazy cards. You've got Sue Young's on the card, Risa Sera's on the card. We've got imports from the US. We've got folks coming over from Ireland. It's just going to be an absolutely banging couple of shows. And you don't have to be in London to watch it. You can check out Eve has their own subscription service on YouTube. We could put a link to that in the show notes as well. It's very reasonably priced. I would thoroughly recommend it. And then you can enjoy the action along with us.
And I mean, if you're not sure about shelling out right away. You know, if you've not watched EVE before, you need a little taster. So they stream the first two matches of both these shows for free on YouTube. So, you know, if you like what you see, you know, you can check it out and, you know, go from there. But I think it's, you'll find it's well worth your money.
Yep, 100%. All right, I think we should wrap things up. We are going to be back next week with our old pal, the ace of Ichigaya, Balian Aki. Aki, we love and adore. Hadn't spoken to him in, we worked out, it was about a year,
Just about a
actually.
year, yeah. And
Yeah,
so much has changed.
so much has changed. So, yeah, really good to get back on the blow with
And
him. So that'll
if
be
you've
next
listened
week.
to any of our previous chats with Aki, you'll kind of know what to expect.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going for it. It was really good stuff. So yeah, that one's coming next week, and more details on the upcoming schedule to follow. So hit us up on the socials. We're on Twitter and Instagram. It's at Wrestling Pod. That's wrestling about the E. WrestlingPod.com. Again, wrestling about the E is where you can find all of the links of where to listen to the show, our personal Twitters, places where you can leave a rating or a review. Those are massive in terms of getting guests. So if you wouldn't mind just taking 2 minutes out just to do one of those, we'd be really, really grateful. And also wrestlingpod@gmail.com. If you want to send us a good old-fashioned email, you're very welcome to do so. We'd love to hear your thoughts.
I mean, that would be really nice. Yeah, we've yet to receive an email in all these years.
Not from a listener.
No, it's mostly just
From a wrestler,
MLW
from
spamming us.
wrestlers, sure, but not from listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a couple of other ways you can support what we're doing here as well. we've got a Ko-fi and a Patreon. So if you know, want to give just a little one-off donation to the podcast, you can do so at ko-fi.com. So it's ko-fi.com/wrestlingpod. So you can give like a little one-time donation or a monthly recurring donation. You know, that helps to pay for hosting of podcast, translation services, all the subscription services, so we can keep up with pro wrestling as best we can. And then the other one is we have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/thewrestlingpodcast, where you can, you know, subscribe for as little as £3 a month, which gives you ongoing access to the podcast and regular shouts out on the pod. And with that in mind, Steve, you're a legend. Thanks for sticking with us. Going all the way up to the Avalanche Vertical Suplex tier at $16.50 a month. There's so many exclusive rewards you can get there. You know, I encourage you to go to patreon.com/thewrestlingpodcast just take a look at what's on offer, and you know, we'd love to have you on board with us.
Hell yeah, that's the word. All right, friends, thanks so much for checking us out. We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks again to Eve and to Nina. And what do I say at the end?
Stay happy, stay safe, and enjoy the grapes.
Yeah, let's just cut it there.